This is CliffCentral.com. And it's a good morning to you and to you and especially to you as we rise and shine a whole new beautiful Thursday in autumn. This is CliffCentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. This is The Unview, the thin, the rich and the fabulous. And it's very simple. We're never sure how thin we're ever going to be. We're never sure how rich we're ever going to be, but we're always damn fabulous. It's good to be with you this morning. A new cabinet has been announced. Auntie Patricia DeLille. Auntie Patricia DeLille made it. Wow. Wow. It's, gee whiz. There was a, that's a political move of note. I don't know. I just think it's really, really cool. I think politics is something that is so interesting. In this country and across the world, actually. So, good luck to Auntie Pat and to the President and to all the fabulous new ministers. And we want a better land. I think that's what it's about. Today's show is filled with great guests, lots of interesting things. We're going to chat about something happening at the Auto and General Theatre on the Square. It's a show called Job. We'll chat to Josiah Mulele, who is also known as Dos. And the whole production is about why bad things happen to good people. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to chat about a new production that opened at the Market Theatre called Strangeland with Rinos Nikos Spanoudis. So we'll chat with him, a well-known actor, well-known comedian, well-known just all around phenomenal guy. We're going to chat to one of the winners of the Anthem Project. We've been following that the whole way through. We'll talk to, it's the Norwegian Settlers Church, and they won the Anthem Project. We're going to talk about the Tops Wine Show happening, coming to Johannesburg next week. And I want to tell you about a new feature that I want to introduce to the show, and it's something called The View Meets The Unview. Now, my partner Jacques and I, we go to restaurants. This is not a paid-for feature, but we've got a good sponsor coming up in the next couple of weeks. But the whole thing is that we love to sit around and eat great food and then talk about it and argue about certain things when it comes to the meal and what we love and what we don't love. But more importantly, it's just where two points of view come together around a table. And we want to just talk about some great places in Johannesburg. It's about promoting local businesses and great little places and places to celebrate life. That's what we're having on the show today. But I want to open the show with not a musical. With the one and only Mark Lottring. Now, Mark Lottring is at least is one of the best comedians in the world, and has had such great success with his musical Auntie Merle the musical that his new show, which is a new stand-up comedy show, is called Mark Lottring Not a Musical, and it opened last night at the Pilatorin Theatre. And Mark Lottring's on the line. Hey, Mark.
Good morning. How are you, Alan Ford?
Are you well, dear? How's it going?
Oh, it's going really, really well. As you said, we opened last night, and that's always the worst night of my life every time that happens, because you've got to try the new material. But you have to do that. You have to do that. You know, you've got to just put on your big girl panties and go out there and tell the new stories.
Mark, your show, Auntie Merle the Musical, rave reviews, yeah. Sold out. You couldn't get a seat. Yeah. You couldn't get a seat in Cape Town for the two runs there. You couldn't get a seat here in Johannesburg. I mean, did you ever expect that? And we're going to come to this new production, but did you expect it to fly?
No, you absolutely never know how these things are going to go. And I think anybody who's listening to us who's written anything, you know, be it a blogger, or you've written an essay or a book or any kind of thing, you know, you just don't know how people are going to receive it, and you cross your fingers. So I must tell you that I was astounded. I was blown away. And the difficulty is when you write something and your intention is for it to be funny. So it's hell of a funny at home after your third shot of tequila. But then you walk onto the stage and you deliver the line, and the crickets are not what you want to hear. So it's a game that you play. And I guess you've just got to be built for this kinds of things. You know, some things are going to work and some things are not. And that show really worked.
Well, I just love the fact that it's just, we'll come back to that show in a moment, but tell me about this new stand-up show, Not a Musical. Now, firstly, Mark, I've got to tell you, my partner and I are heading for my brother's 40th birthday at the end of the month to Thailand, and we're going to Phuket.
Wow,
you have a lot of fun with this in the show. I've been to Koh Samui. I've never been to Phuket.
Oh, so it's interesting that you're going with your partner, because nobody should go to Phuket with their partner.
Why?
Because
but you went with your partner.
I've been very many drinks and told him, wait for me just here. I'm coming now. Mm-hmm. And then I was gone after 1.5 days. you've got to, it's just anything, you know, imaginable, is available out there. I think they sell, you know, it's the industry over there where they sell every person's fantasy until it's no longer a fantasy. And to give you an idea, we were walking down the street and people were lined up, like boys on one street, girls in another street, and you could pick and choose whoever you wanted. And it's quite, you know, because initially you go, oh my word, this is just so wrong, and how can this be happening? And then the situation in a strange kind of way becomes normalized, and you're kind of looking, and I walk in a very decent way, because, you know, you never know where South Africans are. So I always like to walk up those roads as though I was looking for the mall, and I just stumbled up the wrong road. So you've got to get that pace just right, because you always hear, who's it my brew and say about my Jackie? So I'm walking down the road, and of course this guy runs up to me, and boys are lined up there, and he says, oh, come. And I'm like, no, not interested. No, looking for the ball, not interested. And then he runs after me, and I kid you not, and he goes, oh, you don't like? I've got 3 fresh ones. And I thought, 3 fresh ones? Shame. So who are these unfortunate people standing here? But that's the kind of thing. You know, that's happening in Phuket. And of course, so what happened is, while I was over there,
I'm going with my whole Lebanese family, eh? All the Lebs.
I don't know if that comes as a warning or you're just like sharing it. So of course I made some notes, and then when I was writing material for my stand-up show, because as much as people enjoy musicals, and, you know, sometimes I do comedy lineups, sometimes I do characters like Merl, Schmiley, Colleen, Galatia, there are always people on social media who say to me, they've a stand, they just want to see me doing stand-up, because that's how they met 3 years ago. So I try to do a stand-up show at least once every 2 or 3 years. So this is one of those. It's 70 to 80 minutes of me on stage, just telling my stories. And a large part of what I talk about is the trip to Thailand.
Okay. And then you also bring up a fashionable depression.
Sorry, I lost you.
Fashionable depression.
Sure, Alan, I'm not hearing you. Try that slowly again.
Okay, move around a bit. Okay, let's do this again. It said that you also bring up fashionable depression.
Oh, fashionable depression. Yes. I do talk about it. I have, I have friends who live with depression and, talk to me about being bipolar, but they like really, but now lately, people who really live with depression are getting quite pissed off with the fashionably depressed people, because it's now very trendy to say that you're depressed. And, you know, and you see people on Instagram going like, hey, family, you know, I didn't tell you this before, but I'm actually depressed. But it's taken with just the right sunlight coming in the right angle, falling on the jawline with a little bit of a hoodie. And I look at these people and I'm like, yo, you know, I also want to be depressed because you make it look so lecker. So I'm annoyed with the fact that people are using the word so loosely and just throwing it around, and suddenly, you know, a lot of people are bipolar, a lot of people are depressed, not taken away from people I know who do live with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think, with social media, Instagram, Facebook, You know, everybody comes out of the woodwork, and you see some really strange things going on that can really tick you off.
On a personal note, this was announced while you were on stage last night. Patricia de Lille, Auntie Pat, is a minister in Parliament. Not an MP, she's a part of the cabinet. What do you think of that?
I must tell you, I did not see that coming, and all the way on William Nicol, I laughed her after the show because I put my phone on immediately, and all I could say was meow. You know, she's a cat with 19 lives. I mean, there's Patricia de Lille and there's Auntie Pat, and certainly in my circles, it was the most talked about person, you know, coming into the cabinet last night. She was making news. So it makes for my show, it's great. I personally think, you know, just like Thuli Madonsela and Helen Ziller had some tea and scones, I think Auntie Mill and Auntie Pat should get together to have some lemon meringue and scones, and who knows what could come out of that. But you cannot say that you don't talk about that woman. Lover or hater, there's Auntie Pat. There's Auntie Pat, and there she is in the cabinet. And
I mean,
and
I've never seen someone that bounces back in my life like this, Mark. It's incredible.
I know, I blame it on the GHD, you know, because she used to have like PAC dreadlocks, and, you know, she used to keep it real. And the closer she got to the DA at that stage, her hair got straighter and straighter. And that kind of chemical eventually gets to your brain, where eventually you do things that normal people actually can't do. You've never seen someone jump into so many parties and having people talk about her and, you know, being popular or...
And
you know,
fired from mayor, denied a minister. It's wow.
And there she is. I mean, trust me, people saw she must. So she was been shouting for 3 months, I want to clear my name, I want to clear my name. And last night it was just brandy and coke all the way, I'm sure. So I sit back and I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
I cannot wait to see this phenomenal new stand-up comedy show. Not a musical, let's be very clear, it's not a musical. But Mark, it happens at the Peter Tyrin Theatre. It's going to be great. And Mark Lotring, just life is good with you. Hey, you make people laugh. Success is coming in every direction. Who would ever think that your musical production would turn into such a success? Brilliant. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant stuff. Mark, one last thing. I believe Auntie Merle the Musical Part 2 starts in October.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
The Baxter Theatre has commissioned a sequel because we had such a great time. And the show had been nominated for the awards, and we had a massive cast, we had a live band with all our original music. So they felt that there was, you know, that people would like to see more. And I, for my sins, I've agreed to write a sequel. It's called Auntie Mo, It's a Girl. and it happens 5 years after the first one, because in the first show, for people who have seen Auntie Mo, it got married. So this one's called Auntie Mo, It's a Girl. So we look forward. I'm telling you, Alan Ford, I am nervous as hell, because people have used that insane stage show so much, and your opinion matters. I know you have a matriculate exemption, and so many other people out there too, and they love the show. So the bar has been set, and, you know, I've got to get there or get better. So
I love it.
If you want to take me out for drinks, feel free. I'd love to.
I tell you, Alan Ford will say it now publicly. I made one of the biggest production, producing, and financial mistakes by not getting involved with your first musical and bringing it to Johannesburg. Do you remember our discussions?
I remember that discussion very clearly, because you're one of my very few white friends in Joburg, so I remember it very clearly, because you're on the top of the list. So, I mean, I'll, in my phone book, which is White Friends Joburg, my son dials your number, and I called you to help me, and you were like, no.
I didn't? No, come on. It can't say it like that.
But you are.
Love you, Mark Lotring, and we don't want to miss Mark's show. It's happening very, very soon, that new production, Auntie Merle the Musical. Mark Lotring, just one of the best comedians in this country, and, of course, so multi-talented. And Auntie Merle, I thought we'd get on the line just to say good morning. This is a clip that she did a couple of months ago about her trip to Toronto after her musical.
Mornings, everybody. It's just me, Auntie Mo. Oh, my word. I'm so excited. My suitcase is packed because I was going to Toronto in Canada. That's overseas. I took such great delight in sharing the stories last week on Sunday with the ladies at the church. You know, I was very happy to tell them I'm going overseas. I was especially happy to tell Sister Drea because, you know, she's most very, very boastful. Ooh, you know, and I don't like to talk about other people because it's not biblical. But, you know, Sister Drea, on the day God created her, when he said, Brekerach, that one ran to the front of the queue. So last week, Sunday, you must know what she's like, man. When you say you've got a pimple, then she's got a rash. You got a nail clipper, she's got a lawnmower. So last week Sunday, she said to me, Mo, my husband actually booked 2 days for us away. We are going to Club Mykonos, just here around the corner in Langebaan. I slowly turned to her and I said, Yana, Sister Drea, that's nice, because my husband is sending me to Toronto in Canada, where I'm going to see the Mark Lottering show on the 11th of June at the Toronto Centre for the Arts. Also, I'm going to see my family over there, my cousin, Roger Vermeulen. He's must been over in Toronto for 17 years already, but now it's not Roger Vermeulen. He's must now Roger Vermeulen. Excellent, Roger. He said, Ma, bring me a snook. I said, no, I can't bring a snook over. You know, 3 years ago, they were on holiday here, and after too much brandy and coke, Roger put a snook in his backpack, and he tried to smuggle it in there to Toronto. They caught him at the airport there. None of the customs officials there would touch the snook. Hulle ken mos hier snookie. Die snook loose so vir hulle. Ja, een oog en sulke skep valse tande. I said to Dennis, you know, all the expats overseas, they're not in jail for smuggling drugs. They're there because hulle smuggle snook. There's something fishy about every South African. But sweetheart, I must go now because the ladies from the church are coming over quickly for a nice cup of tea and a slice of my lemon meringue. So until next time, it's me, Mo Abrams, from Cape Town, over and out.
And that's the one and only Mark Lottering, and Auntie Mill does not feature in not a musical, but of course he's... And her new musical is coming up very, very soon. It's happening in Cape Town at the Baxter in October. But don't miss, not a musical. His stand-up show was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And go and see it. It's at the Peter Tsering Theatre. It's happening in Johannesburg. I want to now cross over to a show happening at Daphne's Place at the Auton General Theatre on the Square. It's called Job. It's actually linked to the book of Job, and it's Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Josiah's, or better known as Dos Mulele, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Tell us about this production.
Oh, man, you know what? We did a preview last night. We had a crazy house. People saying, look, we understand what you're trying to say. So I'm already giving you a precursor. It's a story, it's a universal story, a story of every man, what we are going through in life, but the rise and the fall and the rise again of any man. So, but this time we happen to be using the life of Job in the Bible, a familiar character that people talk about every time. Mm-hmm. Somebody who had misfortunes, you know, somebody who was very rich, and things happened, bad things happened to him, but that did not stop him. You know, he was very resilient. You know, his children died, you know, businesses were frozen and companies, everything was frozen. Mm. You know, it sounds so much like the usual guy in South Africa, a businessman in South Africa, and around the world, you know, who is a multimillionaire, but tomorrow things are frozen. You know, what happens then? Are you going to shoot yourself, kill the children, or are you going to be resilient and bounce back? And that's what this whole play is talking about. And we use drama, we use humor, you know.
Josiah, it sounds like Patricia DeLille.
Very much so. It's just that we don't have the tigers.
It's a production that just shows people how their faith gets tested.
Absolutely, absolutely. So that's why it cuts across then religion, culture, race. You know, I mean, yesterday we had a huge mix of Jewish community, you know, black community, Christian community. Everyone was there and everyone could relate to what the man was going through. Because even though it's set, you know, in a biblical story, but it's set in somewhere in the day of a lounge of Hyde Park, and things get frozen. This guy's in South Africa. And is he corrupt? No, he's an upright man. But then things get frozen. That's why we ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people?
You're directing this particular production, but you're a very well-known actor, and of course we've seen your face in various TV shows and of course across the theaters.
Sure.
You've from Zero Tolerance to Rhythm City, you've done it all, haven't you? Even Binnenlanders. Even Binnenlanders. 50-50.
Yeah.
Is it nice? Is it good being this side of the stage or this side of the camera, being in that position, directing?
You know what? I think in our industry there is no room for I wanna only just do one thing. I believe that, you know, I'm a writer, I'm a director, producer, actor. You know, our industry is that complex sometimes. So, but I must say, with your question, I kind of enjoy it now. I think maybe it's got to do with maturity, being on this side more, and giving off and training and coaching. I see myself more in that role because I think as you're growing younger, like 21 years old, you begin to view life differently. But, I think it's a difficult question as in, in front of the camera or on stage.
I mean,
was the tool.
I mean, you've done things like Mr. Bone Goes to Durban, Invictus. You've been involved I mean, you've done quite a lot of stuff. I mean, do you not agree that this business is about being multifaceted?
To be multifaceted,
And be able to direct, to produce, to script write, to act, sing. Dance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's one of the things that when I studied at then Pretoria Technical, now TUT, one of the things I didn't understand when I had to do 16 subjects, and I was like, what? They said, well, you will see in the future why we are preparing you. Because I said, I'm not just here to act, man. They said, no, you got to study directing, writing, producing, and then it makes sense now why I had to do that. Because in order for you to survive in this industry, you have to be a jack of all trades, but sharpen every craft of it. And I think that's what I want to, you know, advise. Now I'm also in the chair of teaching. I'm part-time lecturer at the University of Pretoria as well. So, you know, giving off of my, you know, years of experience to the young people, for me, it's really, really, I think, fulfilling at the moment. And working with actors, directing and coaching at the same time, it's just, I'm working with someone like big names like Muzim Tabela, who's on Isibaya.
Yes.
As well as Princess, who's the wife of Job, played by Mokhao Mushati from Skim Sam. People will know those two characters. But we have people like Deboho, who is also the writer of the play, and who's also performing there.
Yeah, you've got Simpo and Titus.
Absolutely.
It's a great cast, and and I think it's something that people are going to love to see. I like the fact that it looks at a serious issue. Yet it takes a comedy spin, and I'm very happy that it's taken to the stages of Santa.
Absolutely. Now, I was kind of nervous because we did it at Joburg Theatre, where we had an influx of, you know, charismatic churches that came to view it with an amen at every comedy line. And it was like, no, not only that, guys. And then last night, we had a very nice mix. And I was particularly interested to hear the different audiences, what was their take. And, I mean, Daphne said to me, listen, my friend, you've hit the nail. Everyone who came here tonight enjoyed the show thoroughly. They said they can relate to the story. So it's not about, you know, it's this particular religion. it cuts across. Mm. So well done. You know, and I thought that was for me a very, very good comment.
My final question to you. Why do bad things actually happen to good people? Do you have an answer?
I don't have an answer. And I think that's the beauty about this play. We showcase different schools of thought and worldviews, and we put it for the audience to decide, you know, because we have the institutions of education, we have a religious sector, we have the cultural sector. All of them are trying to grapple with this question. And you come and watch the show, you'll figure it out.
Josias, thank you so much for being with us. And that is Josias Dos Molele. What a great production of Job. Do not miss it. It's happening the 28th of May to the 15th of June is the run. It's at Daphne's Place, which is, I think, is always great. It's always wonderful to be a part of a great theatre. And it's nice to run around this this beautiful, beautiful city of Johannesburg. I mean, lots of things happening in Cape Town, but we've just jumped from Mark Lotring to a phenomenal show called Job based on a biblical story. And then from there, we're going to jump to the Market Theatre to talk about a brilliant production called Strange Land. And on the line, we have got Reynos Nikos Spanoudios. Welcome to the show, Reynos.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Good morning to you and the listeners. How's it?
Always good to have you. Firstly, Mr. Funny Man, you're a great teacher of the arts, and I mean that as a lecturer, as a performer, and as someone who's been around for a long time. Great to for you back on stage and at the Market Theatre.
Yeah, well, it's a dream I've had. That's why I put that posting about a bucket list, because I've never, ever performed at the Market Theatre. Many times I've sat in the Barney Simon and I've said, Mom, Dad, the Archangels, please, just once, can I come here and perform? And now at 59 years old, it's happening. So I'm very pleased, but my feet are firmly on the ground. I'm very real about the journey and what it takes.
Let's talk about, firstly, this production, Strange Land.
Right.
What is it about? Take us through the story.
Okay. So in the year 2000, there was a book published called A Mouthful of Glass, Mondvol Glas, written by Henk van Woden. And it was the first novel, the first book story about Dimitri Tsifendas, who assassinated the architect of apartheid, Dr. Hendrik French Verwoerd, in 1966 in the Houses of Parliament. Now, when the book was released, there's a photograph of Dimitri Tsifendas, and even my late mother, if you look at that, looks like me, or I look like him.
Because you're Greek and he was Greek.
Yes, you know, there's connections.
Well, I mean, there's connections. But Reynos, this is really interesting, because if you think about this production, this is a production about a man they called Mad that actually assassinated. He was president, was a prime minister. So again, a hell of a take on an old story that a lot of people forget, that there was an assassination in this country.
Right. So, you see, the subsequent to that first book giving birth to the first play, Lynn Marie invited us to Culture Club, which was at Wits University. You'd go there with a script that you've written. So Anton Kruger, Jose Domingos, myself, we got together. I was going to be the actor, Jose the director, and Anton the playwright, and we'd collaborate. So over the years, that was in 2001. Subsequently, a book came out last year with research, the latest research, that shows conclusively that Dimitri Tsifendas was not insane, but that there was this huge plan and perception modification, if I can call it, of the apartheid regime to put out to the world that the man was insane, that he couldn't stand trial. There's some lines in the script. It's a difficult journey and a dark journey, because they declare him insane, but they keep him in prison on death row. And then eventually he's released in 1994 into a mental hospital. So, and you know, the tapeworm, the whole idea that the tapeworm told him to kill the prime minister. In the first incarnation of the play, which went all over the world to festivals, we posed the question, is he mad? Was he hearing the voice of a tapeworm? Or was it maybe a situation of a human being battered and bashed so much to the point of desperation? You know, we never know what we can do. The potential of the human being to do something under extreme duress, extreme sadness, depression, etc. But it's a universal journey about identity. At no way is it justifying we must go out and kill people we don't like. The ancient Greeks have this thing called tyrannoktonos, which is tyrannicide. And the Cretans in particular believe that the killing of a tyrant is justified because of how many people are suffering under the rule of that tyrant. So there's that paradigm as well. But after all those years...
I mean, Reynolds, sorry to interrupt you, but think about something interesting. No, sure. If, you know, there's many movies at the moment about people who try to kill Hitler. Okay?
Yes.
And how he had this SS guard around him constantly. He had more people, soldiers around him than there's unbelievable. So yes, right. I mean, in those days, yes. You know, now that we look back on it, you go, well, was he a hero for killing one of the architects of apartheid? Yeah. Or was he mad? You know, it's...
You see, so the whole idea of not... the regime not allowing him to be seen as a hero is fascinating, because the engine making sure that he was seen as insane is now roaring again, because people say, but wasn't he insane? Didn't he hear the voice of the tapeworm? But what the play does with the new research, it says, make up your own minds, because eventually, after all those years in the cell, as the state president's special guest prisoner, the longest serving political prisoner in South Africa, after years of torture, you will start to be insane. You will start to forget what is true and what is not. So the play isn't saying this is a hero. It's saying, look at what this country was and what it did to people. Make up your minds. I mean, conspiracy theories exist for all assassinations. You know, how did he get, for example, the job in the Houses of Parliament? You see, so there's a question there. And what I love is that it's challenging for the audience.
Well, that's what you want.
That's what you want, yeah. You want debate, you want discussion, you want analysis. But it's by far the most difficult challenge I have embraced, and it's stretching me as an actor, director, writer. My students say to me, "Sir, we're going to come and watch it afterwards, okay?"
Well, I think it's a hell of an interesting story. I think that if anyone wants to see something fascinating about our history, about an assassination, it's similar to what actually happened with JFK.
Yes,
he wasn't definitely not a hero like JFK, but you know, it's an interesting story. Tell us how long does it run for? Give us the whole spiel.
Okay, so it was opening night last night. We had 5 previews, the opening night last night, and the season is scheduled at present to run until the 16th of June. So it would be Tuesday to Saturday at 8 and on a Sunday at 3. But yesterday I was informed that there's this big demand for tickets, and people are very interested, and they're starting to be aware that this play is being done. And they asked me, can you do a week extension? And I was going to scream out loud, of course, but I just said, sure. So it could run for another week after the 16th of June.
And it's called Strange Land. And Rinos, thank you for joining us and being on cliffcentral.com.
Thank you, guys. All the best. And how's it to the listeners? Have a great day. Tonight I'm going to go and kill Fufuta again, okay?
Okay, let's... Woo! Woo! Okay, that's crazy stuff. Yeah. Cheers. That's a very interesting production. And something that I think is... is going to be, it's a piece of history, a piece of history. We found a clip. We want to listen to it. And this is actually what happened on the day. Please understand this is back in the 60s. So, but this was the recording. Back in 1960s.
This is Movie Tone, Jeffrey Sumner reporting. This year, the Rant Easter Show at Johannesburg, at which many nations were exhibiting, was on a larger scale than usual. It marked the 50th year of the Union of South Africa. The Prime Minister, Dr. Favort, was making his first public appearance since the state of emergency had been declared. His almost jovial demeanor gave no sign of anxiety over the affairs of the country, which had so gravely deteriorated since the shooting at Sharpeville. Still, he'd come to the big show, of course, to see the exhibits for himself, and he made quite a thorough tour of the exhibition. He was there to open it too, and to address the crowd of 30,000. Here's one thing he said.
We are prepared to cooperate with every state in the world, white or black.
It was after his speech that the attempt on his life was made. Dr. Favort falls, shot in the face at point-blank range. All around him are stunned. His wife's there trying to help. Somebody hurls the first thing to hand at the assailant, whose name is later given as David Pratt. The stricken man, bleeding profusely, is gravely hurt as news of the shocking event goes out to the world.
Now, that's very interesting, because that was the first time he was shot, and then he was shot a second time by Sabengas, which is, it's so interesting. But again, that's a moment in history we wanted just to play, just to take you back in time. And that was when Favort was shot here in, yeah, just, but Strangeland is very interesting. And it takes you to that side of an assassination that happened by a Greek man who they said was mad. Go and see it. It's very interesting, happening at the Market Theatre. We've been chatting about this project over the past few months, and the Media 24 group have been doing it. It's a great, great initiative called the Anthem Project. And we had so many different people in the studio, all the well-known artists, even John Flismas, for example, singing parts of the national anthem. Great names like just Elvis Blue. I mean, we just had everybody. And we obviously were promoting the fact that we are very proudly South African, and that we are so proud about our democracy and things that have happened. And South Africa's national anthem has been voted the best anthem in the world. And so for that reason, Media 24 decided to start this initiative where you could win R1 million to pay it forward to your favorite charity. It went to three different winners. And it ran with thousands and thousands of entries. And we have one of the winners on the line, because I think it's so wonderfully important to discuss what these guys have done. And on the line, I've got Liz now. And Liz is the musical director of the Norwegian Settlers Church. And this particular church did a phenomenal rendition of our national anthem. And on the line, we've got Liz. How are you doing, Liz? Are you well?
Hi, Alan. I'm well, thank you. Just so excited to be here. Thanks for having us.
Liz, tell us about, you were the musical director. Tell me about what you did with this particular song and with our anthem, and why you won, do you think?
Oh, well, Alan, we actually run an outreach program called Genesis. And as a project of our music academy, I've had some of our students and kids participate in this, in the making of the video. The young man that you see at the beginning of the video, his name is Sfundo Ndzama, and that was his actual house. And we filmed in the community, and these guys are so incredibly talented, and what we aim to do is actually just get out there and get them to express themselves through music and, you know, be creative and know that there are people out there that care about, you know, kids that may not come from a privileged background. And, yeah, so we got together. One of our mentors, Pastor Trevor, he actually pushed us to do this thing. So we jumped in there and we said, let's give it the best that we could. And, yeah, the final product is what you see. And we thank God that we actually made it.
Is it on YouTube? Can people view it?
Yes, yeah, it's on YouTube. It's under Genesis Project.
Okay, excellent, because we want people to go and watch it and see and hear this great rendition of our national anthem. I just think it's wonderful. This initiative was great, don't you believe?
Sorry, Alan, please repeat that?
This initiative was great for the country.
Yes, yes, oh, definitely. It was a chance for us to see the different people get together and really, you know, just see what our national anthem means to our country. I mean, it's a prayer to God to bless Africa. I mean, we couldn't see something better to get behind than to just give our rendition of this. And it was fantastic to see the different videos and the entries. And hats off to News 24 and OutSurance for doing something like this.
The video is absolutely beautiful. And it's,
thank you.
And we've got it online right now. We're going to play some of it. Congratulations as we proudly lift up our national pride to our national anthem and to this beautiful country called South Africa.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you so much.
Congratulations to the Norwegian Settlers Church on winning. Where are you paying it forward to, by the way?
This is something called Genesis, and Genesis is an outreach program, and we are basically situated in Port Shepstone, down on the south coast. Everybody knows where Margate is. Well, mm-hmm. We're also a little bit of a paradise here. We're a little town called Port Shepstone, and we've got a youth center that's kind of in the middle of our community, and the kids from the rural settlement around us, they come in, they go to our gyms. We've got a hospital, a care center. We've got the music academy, a whole lot of different, you know, opportunities for people to come in and get stuck in and help the community around us. So that's where we're putting that money. In fact, the money is going towards a very important project that we're trying to get stuck in at the end of this year. We want to build a music academy. Mm-hmm. And we're actually looking at maybe partnering with some big names out there like Joyous Celebration or Juanita Duplessis or somebody, whoever would want to come and do a concert. That would be so awesome for them to do a concert and raise some funds for Genesis. Yeah.
I congratulate you, and I want to just say, with partners like Media 24 and, of course, the different radio stations that support this project, I'm sure that's going to be a great success. Lizanne, now, thank you so much for joining us, and that's the musical director of the incredible Norwegian Settlers Church, the winner of the Anthem, one of the winners of the Anthem project, which is just a great, great project. So many things still happening on the show. Don't miss The View Meets the Unview. Jacques Jordan joins me in a moment. We're going to do some fun food stuff. But I wanted to play the Genesis Anthem project, this little piece here. Let's hit it, Sia.
Leli Africa Malupagan Risu Pondol Boyo Yizwa Yimitanda So Yetu Nkosi sikelela thina luswabo lwayo. Who's that, man?
Oh! Hey!
It's you, man. How are you?
Oh, it's good, bro.
I'm good, bro.
Let me fetch my bag.
Yeah? Okay.
Chaba sa esu ufe dise di twale matwenye o isibuluge u sibuluge si chaba sa yeso si chaba sa South Africa, South Africa.
Hey Chaba Fair too, there's so much stuff here. Do you need a lift?
Of course!
It's the Genesis project. It's that's very interesting. It's the Genesis Youth Center, and congratulations, one of our winners. We wanted to play some of that for you, and congratulate them, and well done to Media 24. Yeah, it's a good project, and I am proudly South African. And what an interesting show to go from Mark Lottring all the way to Job to talk about Patricia de Lille jumping to strange land to the murder of Vavut, then going on to the assassination, then discussing this show is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. My name is Alan Ford. It is really good to be with you. Now, I've got to tell you something interesting that, my partner and I, Jacques, we decided to do a feature because we have so much fun doing this in restaurants called The Unview Meets The View. It's a point of view. And we just had the most incredible time walking the streets of Johannesburg, Cape Town, Pretoria. We're going to be doing Durban, just walking into restaurants and finding good specials and eating and enjoying and having a tequila and having a glass of wine. Obviously all safe and no drinking and driving, none of that stuff. And celebrating date nights, for example, or graduations, or parting with friends. And we've really had a couple of great experiences. So we wanted to do this. This is called The View Meets The Unview. It's a new feature. And Jacques Jordan, my life partner's on the line. Good day, Jacques. How you doing?
I'm doing very good, thank you. It's a really good morning, and it's great to be the view to the unview today and to share all the amazing experiences that we've had.
So I want to just run through a couple of things. Firstly, Stelio Stiklas was meant to be in studio. Summit Restaurant, he's not with us right now, but what a great spot to be in Pretoria, overlooking the most beautiful Tshwane skyline. So much fun there, is it not?
No, it's a very brilliant location. It's very fun. And they've got sushi specials on Tuesdays. And we went there for my graduation, obviously dinner. And it was such a nice family friend experience. You know, with the graduation, it's blood, sweat, and tears. And it was a very, very, very nice celebration that I could have had. The food was brilliant. I had the steak with chicken livers. It was brilliant. The sushi, brilliant. So it was a good experience, good vibe, good environment. And that waiter, Harry, he was brilliant.
He really was. It is fun to dance and disc and have a disc jockey, have a DJ. I love disc jockey. I sound like such an old fool. Okay. But what a great place and good specials. Lots of fun things to do. They have a winter menu coming out. And we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks. But that was really cool. Now, we went to a place called Saigon Susie this past weekend. How crazy was Saigon Susie?
I must say that was very crazy. But the vibe also, very, very good vibe, the art and just the location of it. And then the karaoke, I think that was the highlight for me. I was a bit shy in the beginning, but then I started feeling like Elvis, and it was brilliant.
Okay, so what happened is we went with Bernie from the Hyde Park Hotel and her for her friend's birthday, and 10 of 10 people, never met them before. Jacques and I get to Saigon Susie. We have a bite to eat, and then we're taken up to a box, a room the size of our studio at Cliff Central, with a screen, and we have to sing karaoke to one another for an hour. It is crazy. It is so much fun. And I tell you, a few tequilas later and you get out your box quick.
No, definitely. And I must say, Alan, you do a very good Tina Turner. Very good. I think you'll win an award.
All the men come in these places. And the men. Shark, I love the fact that you can make date nights out of this. You could really do some fun things with family and friends. And this is what this feature is about. We then went walking through the streets of Melville. And I haven't been to Melville in years. And you said to me, why don't we go to Melville? I'm like, Melville, really? Let's go to Rats. Let's go dance at Rats. But we were walking in Melville. And we saw a special that said a pizza and a beer for $100. This is a dinner special. And then a very quaint, beautiful Italian restaurant. And then it also said a glass of wine and any pasta, which was like including seafood pasta, clam pasta, all that stuff, for 150 rand. I mean, you can't get specials like that. And wasn't it great?
It was really brilliant. But Marvel itself, it's a very fluid environment. I really felt safe. And, you know, you could really be who you want and have fun. The pizza was my favorite. You know how I feel about pizza and mince pizza especially. And the mince and the cheese and the base must actually become one. So that, I mean, they did it perfectly. Our little location where we sat was perfect. The tequilas were brilliant. And I mean, the staff, Devon Simpson, was incredible. So I loved it, every moment of it.
And the name of the place was, I still don't get it. What is it called? It's L?
La Stala.
We're walking up in the streets, guys. I want to just tell you, when you listen to this, this is a review where we're not being paid to do this. We're walking up the streets and just experiencing great things. Tiger's Milk is also fantastic in Cape Town. We went through to Stardust in Cape Town. Just some of the interesting places that we've done. Of course, Luce Hyde Park Hotel, also brilliant. We like eating food, but the best part about you and I, Jacques, is that besides the fact that we love great conversation, good debate, and great food, is the following. And let me ask you this question. Is that I don't eat meat, and I don't eat chicken, and you eat everything I don't eat. And it's nice to see that different plates in front of us.
Yeah, no, but I think that's the brilliant part of it, is that I can eat all the other stuff that you don't eat. And I mean, I've had the most amazing experiences. I mean, really at the Hyde Park, I mean, the little beef platter they put there as well. I mean, that was stunning. I mean, every little piece. So I get the other nice stuff and you just have the chicken and the fish. You don't eat chicken.
thanks for that one. Yeah, how well does your partner know you? Yeah, we're going to start a debate. Date night's off this week, by the way. No date night.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm joking. But that's Jacques Jordan, and Jacques and I are going to be doing the View Meets the Unview. It's just something that we want to talk about. Why date night's important, why family time's important, and why celebration around food is really, really good. So thank you for joining me, Jacques.
Thank you very much. Have a lovely day.
Have a great day. We'll speak to you later. So lots of great things are happening in and around Johannesburg. We're going to chat in a moment to Debbie Combrink very briefly about the Tops Wine Show that is happening this coming weekend, not this weekend that we're speaking about, but we'll chat to Debbie in a moment. And we've got Debbie Combrink on the line all the way from Cape Town. This is happening at Monte Cassino, Debbie, and of course it's the Tops Wine Show brought to you with Spa. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks, Alan. Thank you so much for your time.
It's going to be exciting. Tell us all about what people can expect. We love wine.
Fabulous, don't we all? So we can expect over 350 wines to be tasted. Joburg is our biggest show ever with just under 100 stands. So it's the biggest wine show that we've brought to the country courtesy of Tops and Spa. So we're really excited about that. There's two interactive wine theatres. So for those who are wanting to learn a little bit more about wine, we have our large 80-seater theatre brought to you by IOL. And in that theatre, you will be able to listen to talks from brands such as Olive Brooks, Wellington Wine Route, Miguel Chan talks Michelangelo winning wines, Stellenbosch Vineyards talks to us about your personal encounter with wine. So some really, really top-notch talks coming through there. And then in our smaller, more intimate 30-seater theatre, we have the an incredible talk brought to you by Andre Morkenthal, who heads up the Old Vine Project, which is a fabulous project currently, causing quite a stir in the industry. And he talks to us about discovering the mystery of the Old Vine Project. And then we have John Mainking. John Mainking will talk to us about the SA Wine Showcase, which is a fabulous experience. He takes you through four white and four red wines. It's a blind tasting. You have no idea of who they are, which farm they're from, what the price range is. And he really teaches you that it's all about the palate and what you enjoy. So we need to stop worrying about the price category and assuming that a 300-grand bottle must be amazing. We're very fortunate in South Africa that within the 80 to 100-grand bracket, we have incredible wines on offer. So,
Debbie,
yes.
This is going to be loads of fun. We're going to also have a word about it in the week to come. Of course, it happens next weekend. And lots of fun, lots of great stuff, a lot of drinking and eating and enjoying. How does it work?
Yes.
You pay to go in and then you get your tasting glass and that's how it goes?
Yes. So there's a couple of ticket options. I'll just take you through. We have our general access, which is 185 rand a person. So that includes your complimentary tasting glass, your show guide, access to all of the wine theatre sessions, and then unlimited tastings around the floor. Mm-hmm. That price is available online. At the door, it will be 200 rand, so mm-hmm. definitely best to get it before you get down to the show. We're also offering a couples combo, which is a fabulous offer. It's 385 rand for the couple, so that includes your two tasting glasses, a night out for two people, all of what I previously mentioned in the general access, the unlimited tastings, etc. Mm-hmm. But we've thrown in a complimentary six-pack of beautiful glasses, okay, courtesy of Core Catering, which you can collect at the Core Catering stand at the show. And then for a little bit more of the discerning wine market, we have our VIP tickets. We launched it in Durban and it went down incredibly well. We're actually put together a food and wine pairing. Vanessa Wines is sponsoring the wines. So there will be five different meals to be sampled with these incredible wines. We have the Sommeliers Association of South Africa providing sommeliers. So it'll be
tasting. I love the different levels. Where do we book?
Ticket Pro. Actually running a 2-for-1 special on our GA tickets. So if you go Ticket Pro
put in the
promo code VINO, it will unlock the 2-for-1 offer, and that's valid until Sunday. So make sure to get online ASAP and to book that 2-for-1 special with the promo code VINO, V-I-N-O.
Debbie Combrink, thank you for joining us on the Tops Wine Show. It's happening next weekend at Monty, and, of course, lots of wonderful things are happening in and around town. Don't miss Mark Lottering. It ends the 9th of June. Strange Lands happening at the Market Theatre. Everything's online. Just go online and look it up. Don't forget Job at Daphne's Place. The Anthem Project is really cool. Top Wine Shows. Some of those restaurants we mentioned. Just listen to the podcast. We're going to give it all to you. We hope that you had the best day. This is, of course, where we have fun, entertainment, and lots of information here on cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford, and this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. Good day.
Cliffcentral.com.